On the 250th anniversary of the birth of Ludwig van Beethoven, I, Patricia Salomone, present Beethoven, His Life and Times, with the assistance of my friend Gerald Fennec for the musical content. There was no denying that Beethoven was on his deathbed. Yet, small blessings still happened. In mid-December, Beethoven received a 40-volume edition of Handel's works from an admirer in England, which gave him much pleasure. After school hours, young Gerhard von Bruning brought Beethoven warm soup, which his mother prepared. Friends and colleagues came to visit to cheer the patient up. Schuppanzieh and Linke, who had performed the quartets, came to visit, as did Moritz Lichnowsky, brother of Beethoven's great patron. Teresa Malfatti's sister came to see him with her husband. Diabelli brought him a gift, while Baron Pasqualati, in whose building he had lodged on and off for 8 years, sent wine, champagne, and stewed fruits. It is said that also Franz Schubert, his great admirer, came to see him before it was too late. Not yet acknowledging that the end was near, Beethoven wrote to the Philharmonic Society of London, pleading ill health and financial hardship, and asking them to make good for their offer of payment for a new symphony he had promised to compose. They responded by sending a gift of £100, full knowing that the composer would not be in a position to keep his promise. Beethoven also wrote to his publisher Schott of Mainz, asking them to send him some good Rhine and Moselle wine. Ironically, it was to arrive on the 24th March, while the composer was ailing. With the composer as he faded away, who stood by in the sick room where unpleasant interventions were being done by the doctors. Young Gerhard von Bruning left the sick room to go for a lesson, but standing close by were Beethoven's surviving brother, Johann the apothecary, and his ever faithful friend, Stefan von Bruning, Also present were a serving woman and Anselm Huttenbrenner, the composer. Present also was Anton Schindler. Schindler was a mediocre musician, much disliked by Beethoven's close friends. He had made himself indispensable to Beethoven in his last period, and he bragged about being Beethoven's friend. He was to be one of the composer's first biographers, but his writings are said to contain many inaccuracies and exaggerations. The patient, having lost hope, was deeply depressed, and giving up on life, he said, "My day's work is finished. If there were a physician who could help me, his name now would be wonderful." Dr. Malfatti, uncle of his erstwhile love, Teresa, joined Dr. Warwort and others in trying to keep a therapy to find a therapy for the sick man's many ailments. For his swollen legs, his enormously extended belly, his breathlessness. I shall not disturb my listeners with details of the awful remedies suggested by those men of science. The sick man still tried to conduct the action around him, and having signed an apostille to his will, leaving his estate to his nephew, he looked around, saying, "Plaudite, amici, commedia finita est." On being told of the arrival of the wine sent by Schott, Beethoven uttered his last words, "Pity, pity, it's too late." Years later, Gerhard von Breuning was to describe the scene and talk of a violent hailstorm in the afternoon of 26th March 1827. At 6 in the evening, a thunderbolt caused the room to shudder. At that moment, Beethoven gave up the ghost. Ideally, at this point, the story should end, for death is the conclusion of every man's life, and Ludwig van Beethoven is no exception. Beethoven was honored with a magnificent funeral, so grand that it compared to the funerary functions put on for the emperors of the House of Habsburg. The funerary mass was held at the Holy Trinity Church, a mere 500 paces from the Schwarzspanier house, where the body had laid in the death chamber. But it took the pallbearers, amongst them Franz Schubert, more than an hour and a half to reach the church, accompanied by a brass band playing Beethoven's Piano Sonata, Opus 26. In the overcrowded candle-lit church, two trombone equali were played. Those equali that Beethoven had composed during his stay at Linz, when he had befriended the Linz Kapellmeister, Gogol. After the funeral mass, the cortege proceeded northwest, out of the city, to the Waring Cemetery, where the oration written by the leading playwright of the day, Franz Grillparzer, was read by Heinrich Anschutz, foremost tragedian. The oration justly reflected Beethoven as he was, a man of his time, with roots in the high classic style. His mind enriched by the Enlightenment, and his spirit open to the romantic century that had just begun. Hence, his music embodied the immortality of the heroes of antiquity, but was projected into the romantic 19th century, and was so modern and advanced that it anticipated the perfection of future musical taste and instrumentation. His genial mind, as well as his physical impediment, made of him a difficult man, far from convivial, but whose sublime art gave him immortality. And Anschütz read on, addressing Eutherpy, the music muse. He was an artist, and what he was only through his art. The thorns of life had wounded him deeply, and as the shipwrecked man clutches the saving shore, he flew to your arms, O wondrous sister of the good and true, comforter of the affliction. The art that comes from on high. He held fast to you, and even when the gate through which you had entered was shut, you spoke through a deafened ear to him, who could no longer discern you. And he carried your image in his heart, and when he died, it still laid on his breast. He was an artist, but also a man in every sense, in the highest sense. Because he shut himself off from the world, they called him hostile and callous, because he shunned feelings. Excess of feeling avoids feelings. He fled the world because he did not find in the whole compass of his loving nature a weapon with which to resist it. He withdrew from his fellow men after he had given them everything he had received. And nothing did he receive in return. He remained alone, because he found no second self. But until his death, he preserved a human heart for all men, a father's heart in his own people, the whole world. Thus he was, thus he died, and thus he will live for all time. Hundreds of scholars have looked into this man's life, have written his biography. They have discovered the genius and have tried to understand the man. I do not pretend to be a biographer. I have simply shared with you the information which I researched from various sources to try to understand Beethoven's life and the context in which he lived. I discovered a man whose music was sublime, but whose life was tormented by ill health and a difficult childhood. I found a man difficult, unsociable, and deeply unhappy. Yet he composed music that was truly eternal. I acknowledge the precious help of Gerald Fenwick with regards to the choice of the musical scores to accompany the story, and the collaboration of Dr. Sandra Dingley and Simona Zuppardi for some informative notes. Thanks goes also for their collaboration to the technicians at Campus FM. As I studied and wrote my notes, I went back to my childhood, remembering how my father listened enthralled to Beethoven's music. Much though he tried to involve me, I did not go beyond a poor rendition of Für Elise on our piano in the sitting room. I was more interested in rock and roll and in the music of the Beatles. Strict and precise as my dad was, he would not have accepted this series of programs unconditionally. Surely he would have found fault with some passages. He would have pointed out weaknesses. But I am sure on the whole he would have been pleased that after so many years I converted. I imagine he would have sat down in his armchair, puffed at his pipe, and listened. So, I hope my listeners will understand and forgive me if I close Beethoven, His Life and Times, the series that Campus FM has aired on the occasion of the 250th anniversary of the birth of Ludwig van Beethoven, by dedicating it to the memory of my father, Albert Walter Salomone.